Spirit.
Blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires are known. From you there are no secrets hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you declare your almighty power, chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace, that we, running to obtain your promises, may become partakers of your heavenly treasure. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from Numbers. The rabble among them had a strong craving, and the Israelites also wept again and said, "If only we had meat to eat. Remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt for nothing. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but the manna to look at." Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families and all the entrances of their tents. Then the Lord became very angry, and Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you treated your servants so badly? Why have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay down the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive them, all these people? Did I give birth to them, that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom, as a nurse carries a suckling child,' and the land that you promised to the oath of their ancestors? Where am I to get the meat to give all these people? For they come weeping to me and say, 'Give us meat to eat.' And I am not able to carry these people alone, for they are too heavy for me. If this is the way you are going to treat me, put me to death at once. If I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my misery." So the Lord said to Moses, "Gather me 70 of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tent of meeting, and have them take their place with you." So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to them, and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit came, rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the Spirit rested on them, and they were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And the young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp, and Joseph, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, and one of the chosen men said, 'My lord Moses, stop them.' But Moses said to him, Are you jealous for my sake? Would all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord would put his spirit on them? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So just because we don't have any children present today does not mean you get out of the children's homily. That just means that you get to participate in the children's homily. So, in two or three of our lessons today, we talk about who has the right to prophesy and pray. Who has the right to prophesy and pray? And what would those people prophesy and pray if they had the right to prophesy and pray? So, talking to Tara about her sermon and talking to Bill at St. Albans about his sermon, I became inspired to think about what gives us the authority to pray and to prophesy and to speak on and on behalf and with God. What gives us that right? Well, I think it's our baptism. It's part of it. And so today I brought some water for our baptism, right? And if you get the little red book here that's in front of you, and you turn to page 300, and where are we at here?
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, here we are. 308, 308. This is sort of the end of our baptismal liturgy here. And if you turn back one page to 306. About midway through the page there, I would say to you, the Lord be with you. And you wouldn't say to me.
And also with you.
Well, let's practice again, like you've been Episcopalians all your life or something. The Lord be with you.
And as all with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
We thank you, Almighty God, for the gift of water. Over it, the Holy Spirit moved in the beginning of creation. Through it, you led the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt into the land of promise. In it, your son Jesus received the baptism of John and was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the Messiah, the Christ, to lead us through this death and resurrection from the bondage of sin into everlasting life. So this symbol of water that we just blessed becomes to us a symbol of Christ's presence with us. And so when I was in Peru, I did an Easter service, and I got sprinkled by Catholic holy water. And I asked the priest if that made me Catholic or not. And he said no. So remember your baptism. Remember your baptism. Remember your baptism. This thing is called an aspergillum, which comes from the Psalms. It's a fancy word for a reed that you throw water with. Aspergillum, remember your baptism. Remember your baptism. Remember your baptism. Remember your baptism. Oh, don't worry, choir, you're next. Remember your baptism. Remember your baptism. Remember your baptism. The aspergillum gets a healthy amount of water on you, not too much, but enough so that you feel it, all right? Remember your baptism. Remember your baptism. Remember your baptism. Hopefully I'm not ruining everything back here. When I did. I know you were hoping that, but remember your baptism. Okay. So everybody has remembered their baptism, which means we now remember our authority to prophesy and to pray. And so I'm going to ask you, what are your prayers for this community of St. Thaddeus? What are your prophecies for this community of St. Thaddeus? What is the good word of Christ? For your school, if you were the kids here, that's what I would ask. Or for your community, or for your place of work, or for the nation, or for the world. What are some prayers that you have?
For growth.
Growth. Okay.
And thank you. For myself to be able to accept whatever kind of growth that is.
Thank you. Okay. All right. I'm going to make this a part of our altar of prayers today. Okay, what else? Other prayers that you have? Certainly. You can tell it's not a children's homily because we have big words like discernment. I wonder if these are going to stick. We might have to put them on top here. What else we got?
Teachers and kids.
For teachers and kids. Hopefully they won't catch on fire if I put them on the can. What else? Peace. Love it. Poor and hungry. I'm going to put this one on the pink color, not because you said it, but because I haven't used pink yet. Okay, what else?
For health and well-being.
Health and well-being. Gosh, that is a prayer that is we need now. What else? What else?
Thanksgiving for every person who's entered the doors of this church. And who will enter.
To find peace and joy.
Peace and joy. Jesus says, if you've lost your saltiness, how can your saltiness be restored? Robert says to these stickers, if you've lost your stickiness, how will your stickiness be restored? Any others? Okay. So, If you all were children, I would invite you all around this altar and say, this is the place where we do the work of the people. That's what the word liturgy means. It's a fancy word that means the work of the people, which means by putting these prophecies and prayers up here, we remind ourselves that these are not only our prayers, but that it is also our work to do. And we do that, and I would ask, how do we do the work? How do we do the work of accepting of what will be, of thanking God for all who have come to our doors and all who will come to our doors? How do we do the work of taking care of teachers and students, of the poor and the hungry, of accepting growth as it comes? How do we do the work of discernment, of growth? How do we do the prayerful work of health and well-being, of finding peace and joy, of establishing peace in the world? How do we do this work together? And then I would say that God inspires us for this knowledge when we come together around the table every Sunday, and that's why we come around the table. And then I would say thank you for coming up, and you can go back to your seats.
A reading from the book of James. Are any among you suffering? Then they should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any of you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, any among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whomever brings back a sinner from the wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's process the gospel. We'll go to verse 4. gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one does a deed of power in my name will be able to soon afterwards speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. Truly, I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter the life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter the life lame than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. If your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into hell, where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. You may be seated. I'm going to have to fight with this mask. Well, good morning. First, I want to say thank you for welcoming me to be in your midst and to share in worship with you, at least temporarily, as a seminarian, learning how to preach and to be a part of the congregation this way. Over the past few weeks, I've been here a couple of times, and I've taken some time to walk around this lovely little campus that you have here, and I especially love the garden and this unique sanctuary. One of the parishioners was actually telling me some of the history about your sanctuary here. And I can only imagine that after all these years, there's a lot of memories in this place. Memories are powerful, aren't they? The happy ones give us joy. We like to reminisce. It's positive. But what's interesting is sometimes it's the bad memories that impact our lives more so than the good. This past summer, I went to Kentucky and I was working in a hospital for my CPE program, and that's clinical pastoral education. And I was working with one of the staff chaplains there, and this chaplain was telling me a story about when he was working in a hospice, and there was a patient who was getting ready to die, and the patient specifically asked to see a chaplain because he had some confessions that he wanted to make. So when the chaplain went in and sat down, he said right away, this guy started, "You know, I haven't been to church in years." He said, "As a matter of fact, I have a lot of issues with God." He said, "You know, back in the 50s, when I was young, I decided to go back to church one time. I got cleaned up, dressed in the best clothes that I had, and I went back to church. I didn't know this church. I had never been there before. And after the service, I decided to stay and pray for a while. He said, that's when one of the ushers came up to me and he said, you know, if that's the best look that you're going to do when you come into the house of God, best you not come back. And he said, Chaplain, I never did go back. I never went back to that church or any other. As a matter of fact, I stopped following God. As we look at our readings this morning, there's a distinct connection between the Old Testament and our gospel. And as we look at this, we have in the Old Testament reading, we have a young man coming to Moses and telling him about Eldad and Medad. Joshua is getting all excited and asks Moses, tell them to stop. Well, Eldad and Medad weren't among the initial 70. They weren't in the main clique. So Moses remarks, only if all the Lord's people were prophets and the Lord's Spirit would be on them. And then as we turn to our gospel, our reading from Mark, we have a similar incident happening here with the disciples complaining to Jesus about someone who is exercising demons in Jesus' name. Jesus, make them stop. The theme between these two readings is about judgment. And it's not the judgment of Jesus that is condemning, but the judgments of those who are called. In both examples, how do you think this would play out today? It's easy enough to read the stories of the Bible and judge the characters, isn't it? In both texts, what we are witnessing is Joshua and then John isn't any different from one group judging another group today in our modern times. Hey, Jesus, these people aren't in our clique. They need to come to this group to be qualified. They need to do things exactly the way we say it needs to be done. What does Jesus say? Does Jesus say, well, let me put an end to these copycats. They need to be part of the in crowd to do such things. Who do they think they are? They are not good enough for this work. Well, we all know that's not what Jesus says. Jesus explains that if someone is working in my name, then how can they speak against me? A few weeks ago, I was in North Carolina. I was running around doing some errands, and I was in a grocery store parking lot. And as I was getting out of my car, a woman approached me, and she handed me a pamphlet, and she said, I just wanted to give you this little booklet so that you could learn of the saving grace of Jesus. And I just said, thank you. And before I could say anything else, she was off walking away to give another booklet to another person. And I kind of felt the urge to say, actually, I'm a seminarian, and yeah, I already know Jesus. I've been baptized. I'm studying about Jesus right now. I also wanted to correct her. There was a stirring in me that wanted to say, you know, this method of evangelizing that you have, it doesn't work. It's not effective. And I really wanted to tell her, you know, you should come to the Episcopal Church. This is where you could be set free. Because, you know, we Episcopalians, we do everything right. And I was actually told by an Episcopalian that I should have evangelized this to her. And this is where I love the reading in the Old Testament from Numbers. I love how Moses exclaims, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them? I came from a fundamentalist church. I know the committee that this woman was on. I know what they're asking her to do. I know what the requirements are. Go out and make disciples, evangelize, bring people to Jesus. I also know that this woman's underlying motives for doing this work could be twofold. She could be doing this to impress her church and boast about how many people she was able to bring to Jesus. When I thought about that, I remembered that there was no one else around as she was handing out these pamphlets. So she could have easily have discarded of the pamphlets, gone back to her committee, did her boast, and no one would have known the better of it. But this woman was up at 8 a.m. in August in North Carolina, which anyone who has ever been to North Carolina knows that by 8 a.m., the temperature is already 80 degrees and the humidity has already settled in. And especially on a black tar parking lot, the steam has begun to rise, and it makes for a good sauna and a good facial. Well, this woman didn't get rid of the pamphlets. She was out there doing the work. And as I reflected on this, she was doing the work that, according to her knowledge, her belief, her faith, was the work that her baptism called her to. What exactly would I be evangelizing to this woman? Hey, your church is wrong. Ours is right. And you need to come over to our side. So that would be effective, right? Of course, even if I had used the nicest words, if I flowered my language with compliments over her conviction, there would still be this underlying motive. Even if I covered everything with honey, there would still be this thing. Have you ever felt a person's inauthenticity? How'd it make you feel? Even with their nice words, you could tell that they were basically trying to tell you, well, you weren't doing things exactly the way they thought you should be doing them. And essentially, they were using flowery words because they didn't want to seem ugly or nasty. They didn't want to be obvious. I thought about that for a while. Should I have said more to this woman? Was she being abusive or telling people they were going to hell? No. Who knows what might have come out of a conversation of just sharing my story with her? I don't think pushing my evangelistic standards on her would have been any more effective than her handing out those brochures. As we read these texts about Israel and the disciples, we are given a window. And the view provides an insight to a basic human condition, ego. If we go a little further back into the Gospel of Mark, we get the disciples arguing over who will be the greatest in the kingdom. That same ego is put on display with our text today. Who is the greatest? And let me ask this in a little different way for the sake of reflection. What is the greatness we are striving for? I want to go to the last verse of our reading in the Gospel of Mark. Salt is good. But if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Salt is a condiment used for seasoning. And as I was writing this sermon, I pondered that seasoning aspect of salt, and I went and made a sandwich. And I put salt and pepper on my tomatoes. And as I was eating my sandwich, I thought, there's got to be more to this seasoning. So I decided to look up a bit of history, and I have some tidbits for you And these tidbits are from the Encyclopedia Britannica. Covenants were ordinarily made over a sacrificial meal in which salt was a necessary element. The preservative qualities of salt made it a fitting symbol of an enduring compact, sealing it with an obligation to fidelity. The word salt thus acquired connotations of high esteem and honor in ancient and modern languages. Some examples include the Arab vowel, "There is salt between us." There's a Hebrew expression, "To eat the salt of the palace." And this one is my particular favorite. It's a modern Persian phrase, "Namak haram," untrue to salt. Untrue to salt means disloyal, ungrateful. Untrue to salt. And this actually coincides with salt losing its saltiness. In English, the term salt of the earth describes a person held in high esteem. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Keep an eye towards the kingdom. The kingdom is all of us. The kingdom is that man who wasn't dressed like everybody else. The kingdom is that woman handing out those pamphlets and not doing things exactly the way that we do. Keep fidelity towards the kingdom. Keep your saltiness. Keep fidelity with God, with Jesus. Because if someone's heart is for Jesus, then is it wrong? Amen.
Let us stand and renew our salt with the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, truly God from true God, begotten and not made. One being with the Father, through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, he suffered death as we were buried. On the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the God, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken to the cross. We believe in one Holy Spirit and the Son. We acknowledge one baptism. We live for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Please stand and kneel as you are able as we pray for the church and for the world.
Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church,
that we all may be one.
Grant that every member of the church may truly and humbly serve you.
that your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons,
that they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments.
We pray for all those who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world,
that there may be justice and peace on earth.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake.
That our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble,
that they may be delivered from your distress.
Give the departed eternal rest. We pray for the repose of the soul of Chuck Carpenter. We hope for the beloved memory of Barbara Linter, wife of Terry Linter.
But light perpetual shine upon them.
We pray for you, your saints, who have entered into joy.
May we also come to share in the kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and for those of others. Our prayer list, we pray for Jim, J.R., Pat,
John,
Gail,
Priscilla,
Greg,
Cindy,
Joyce,
Kelly,
Barry,
Pete,
Kat,
Somerset,
Xavier,
Gay,
Becky,
Alexander,
Daniel,
Kelly,
Paula,
Margaret,
Susie,
Jacqueline,
John,
Jenny,
Kelly,
Richard,
Steve,
Kyle,
Richard,
Bond,
Valerie,
Debbie,
the Trent
Johnson family,
Cindy,
and Elizabeth.
Almighty God, to whom our needs are known before we ask, help us to ask only what accords with your will and those good things which we dare not, in our blindness, cannot ask. Grant us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed.
By what we have done,
and by what we have left undone.
We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
We are truly sorry,
and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ,
have
mercy on us and forgive us,
that
we may delight in your will
and walk
in your ways,
to
the glory of your name.
Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
God's peace.
Peace.
God's peace.
Peace.
It's peace, darling. Peace, 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 peace. God's peace. Peace to you.
Simon says,
peace to you all. And Simon also said, be seated. I didn't realize that Simon Says joke until after we named him, and I was like, oh man, he's got a lifetime of that, which is all right. So a couple of important things to announce. One is that you might notice a little bit of some changes in things that are currently in the building. So we offloaded, I think, close to 8,000 pounds of food over the last several days to ministries that will utilize all that food in the next week and a half. So it's a good thing. All that food is going to get to folks who need it. And it was a timely thing. It was good we got it out when we did. Going forward, the vestry is working on a partnership with Southside Abbey. Looking for Lloyd. He's back there somewhere. Who bag up, I don't know, 20, 30 bags for folks and send out on Fridays. People home with groceries on Friday, or send them out to camps on Fridays. Yeah.
And then we had several others who were there and did not, but you know, every Friday night.
So we're going to continue our pantry ministry. Yesterday we had six families, and we kept enough food on hand to continue that going forward. So we're continuing to be a church that feeds folks. We just didn't need the amount, the volume of food that we had on hand, so that stuff went. Next Sunday, Perry Scruggs will be back to celebrate the Eucharist and to preach. And then the following Sunday, this is very important, Sunday the 10th, October the 10th, our worship service starts at 1 p.m. It will start outdoors unless it's raining, and if it's raining, it will start in here. And it will move to a place where we will have an agape meal with the bishop, and we will be celebrating our 60th anniversary that day. So there are plenty of people who are working to make that a special time, and our bishop will be with us. Tara will be with us. We'll have a deacon with us. So it will be a great time to celebrate together. And so please mark your calendars, and if you show up at 10:30, that's okay. You're just going to have to wait around until 1 o'clock. So the bishop, he's going to be at St. Albans in the morning at 10:30, then he'll come here and be with us at 1 o'clock. So those are your next couple of Sundays. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself. Oh, wait a minute. There's another announcement. Are you, Sally, is there another announcement? There's not. I always make sure with Sally. Okay. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us in an offering and a sacrifice to the Most High. He's singing the offertory anthem. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ. Bring us to that heavenly country where with Jude Thaddeus and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Come taste and see that God is good. The body of Christ, the bread of him. Body of Christ, the bread of him. The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep you in everlasting life. This is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep you in everlasting life. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep you in everlasting life. This is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Take this in remembrance that Christ died for you. Feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. This is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep you in everlasting life.
Shine upon you, be gracious to you, and forevermore.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace. Grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and with singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen those who are faint-hearted and support folks in need. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you all days. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.